Hey guys.
Hey, what's up? Looks like Penguin beat me to it.
What did I beat you to?
Oh, you dropped the meeting link in the group.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I dropped the meeting link and I started the recording here, so you guys are all on audio now.
With you guys while we're on. I'm gonna bring up my email so I can look at the draft. Regarding the plan, I mean, obviously we'll see who gets elected, who doesn't.
Line up front, unless the state reps
believe that we should have a nullification caucus formed in the House. Which is, you know, I know we talked about that this earlier this summer about the, having a caucus, and you know, we had said, okay, we should have an independence caucus, and it's time, and it's like, it is time, because we wanted to, you know, find out all the candidates who support it, and, you know, there's enough to create a caucus, but I believe that we should have a nullification caucus, and here's why. So, this year's scientific survey showed 29% of Grand Estaters support independence, and last year's survey showed that 68% of Grand Estaters believe the country to be on the wrong track. And while at the exact same time, New Hampshire is still number one freest, number one richest average household income, number one safest, etc., we still have the numbers. Nullification caucus would best reflect current attitudes in New Hampshire and receive massive support. It would be larger in size than simply an independence caucus. If we start with the nullification caucus, we will always have the opportunity to later change it to an independence caucus, should that time, should it become necessary. Even now, so the Democrats in this campaign, in this election campaign, they are attacking, or they are criticizing, I should say, the in advertisements, the Republican Party in New Hampshire as a whole for voting for independence. So, if we were to do a nullification, we get a lot on board, and then we wouldn't have to worry. We wouldn't be shaking like they are branding the Republican Party as the one that wishes to succeed, which is good. That actually is good. If we do a nullification caucus, there might be, you know, other states out there. You know, there's some states that have their own little independence movements going on, and you know, but. But if we start off with a nullification caucus, we might actually inspire other states to follow suit, you know, beyond the ones that are simply just in the secession business. They might not be interested in seceding, but they might see that, hey, New Hampshire is the only state in the country that has a nullification caucus. Let's be like them. And they could jump in on the anti-federalist sentiment that is currently happening across the country. If we jump straight into an independence caucus, it's possible we could miss out on an opportunity to lead. Additionally, the possibility of secession alone is a great way to leverage the federal government to behave in a more responsible manner. And of course, a nullification caucus would be a great launch pad for nullification and secession bills, which we'll be discussing at that huddle. You know, we still have to do a state study. I think until we actually have a state study, it's way, I think it would be too soon to declare an independence caucus. Would love to hear your guys' responses to all that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's fine, obviously. If that's the way they want to go, then it's a step in the right direction. I think it'll ultimately be up to them to decide, but certainly the nullification caucus would be more inclusive, likely, and that doesn't mean that the nullification caucus wouldn't also do things like support independence, although some of their members may not. So, yeah, I mean, it's fine to put that on the table, I think.
Anti-war.
Yeah, that's fact. I am looking forward to this thing being over with, so all this, these people that are, like, being very divisive will finally be able to come back together and focus on state activism and, you know, there ain't shit we can do about the federal government. And it's these people that believe that something's going to change at the federal level. I don't know what's going to take to wake them up. I had a very lengthy conversation with Therese Grinnell today, who's she's frustrated, you know, she's been putting a lot of work into what she considers to be the right path, and unfortunately, I think she's been, she's fallen for the old tricks, you know, the Don Bolduc, he's a smooth talker, even Alu has fallen under his spell, and we had a lengthy conversation with Alu on the air on Free Talk Live a couple nights ago about this, where we tried to wake him up to the wasted vote syndrome that he's suffering from, and he admitted that Bolduc is a smooth player. You know that he's very charismatic. And,
yes, absolutely. I actually so what's it called? You know Jimmy Scammon?
James
Scammon? Yeah.
No.
He lives out here on the seacoast. He lives in he's not too far away from me. Him and I are actually, we found out that we were related through our genealogy. We compared our family trees, and we had some, you know, it was cool because he's sort of a free stater. You know, he's in the Liberty groups, and you know, he's an older gentleman, and he actually knows Don Bolduc personally, and he had organized a fundraiser for him out in Stratum, and I went and visited, you know, I went and checked out the fundraiser, you know, for his sake, because you know, he's a good, you know, we're good friends, and he's also kind of family in a way. You know, it was kind of neat, because when I went, you know, I went to this Republican fundraiser, everybody stood for the Pledge of Allegiance, except for me. I was like, I actually can't do that. I actually can't do that in my position, so that was kind of interesting. You know, doing that in public, right? But, you know, Sununu was there, too, for a little bit, and I didn't talk with him. I just saw him from across the room, and another part of culture shock between New Hampshire and New York, and, you know, say what you want about Sununu, I couldn't believe how accessible, like, I couldn't believe how close I was to a governor. Like, whoa. Mm-hmm. You would never be that close to in New York State. You know, the governor would have a whole entourage of police.
Oh, yeah.
He had one bodyguard there. It just goes to show that, you know, we have a better state government, a better population, better laws. Now, you know, that, and I say that as a reflection of not necessarily Sununu personally, but just that a governor is that. A governor, the governor of New Hampshire, is accessible like that, and that was really interesting.
I've noticed that for years. It's always been that way. They always have just one bodyguard pretty much wherever they go. He's the driver, he's the bodyguard. You know, New Hampshire keeps it small when it comes to government spending, that is for sure.
So that was really that was really neat, and of course, you know, Don Bolduc made it to the event, and you know, he gave a speech, and what was different about this event was that everybody's really old, like everybody there was like a boomer, like you know, and it's almost sad because it's like they're not in touch with the younger generation, or you know, they've lost the younger generation, or when we talk about you know, if you watch the Yuri Brezhnev videos, he talks about like communism coming into the country and you know, infiltrating the classrooms, and then the generation that grew up, you know, being nervous about communism, like completely missed it, and they lost, you know, the younger generation, and now we got to do something, everybody was old, it's like they don't have, the future is not they were not like it wasn't the future, and everybody was very very chummy with General Bulldog, and they, you know, gave him a lot of, you know, there was already a lot of credit assumed by him, like he even, it was kind of like everything was just assumed, oh my gosh, he's a general, you know, therefore we can trust him, we're in love with the uniform, you know, like that sort of thing, and you know, it's a great testament to perhaps loyalty to show that, you know, you're willing to do 10 tours, but you know, the conflict in Afghanistan, you know, I don't see how that's really benefited Americans. so they're, you know, and then, you know, he's obviously campaigning with his star. Like he's mm-hmm. just very obvious campaigning with the star. You know, it's a very chummy atmosphere. Everyone, you know, it's, you know, oh, apple pie and baseball, and it was just kind of it was kind of sad in a way, because I hear all these, you know, these older people and their concerns, and they just don't like the future, like they don't get it. Like, they don't get it. And you know, and I actually met him at the end of the I met him at the end of this was a couple days after his event where you know, where he kind of kicked Jeremy out, and when Derek got on video and the LPNH retweeted about Defend the Guard, and so, you know, I went and asked him as he was and he wasn't quite walking out, but like I was sitting at the desk, the entrance table where the money was, you know, because I was covering it for James, and he already knows James personally. So I asked him, like, hey, sir, Defend the Guard, right? And he walked over to me, and he kind of got on his knees in front of the table, put his hands, and he, you know, made good eye contact, and he actually did not make any sort of hesitation about, you know, how he believed that Defend the Guard, or how he gave me the impression that he believed that Defend the Guard was a good idea. And I, you know, brought up how, like, hey, and then we're not going to go to war in Ukraine, right? Because we saw what you said on Fox News. And, you know, he gave me the impression, I mean, like, you know, he's a politician. Like, I'm not going to vote for him, right? But he gave me the impression that he doesn't want to go over to Ukraine, and, you know, that we're also not capable of winning. You know, he did point out at his brief that it's like, oh yeah, all of our military branches are rated as weak, you know, and that he doesn't, you know, feel comfortable, you know, sending troops, like, or like actually going to war. But the thing is, though, is that it's easy to say that now, and then the guys will get in office, and then they'll be like, there's nothing we could do, you know, like.
Yeah, he's full of it. I mean,
he would say that,
oh, well, just put Republicans in charge, and then they'll toughen up the military, and then they're going to fight Putin and China all at the same time.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of psychopath that we're dealing with. But, I had the same observation, and I think Penguin would agree. We here in Keene, we went to the Republican meetings a couple of years ago, and they were just all over the age of 60 or, you know, 65, basically, you know, hardly any non-white hairs in the room, and it was, you know, a fairly low number, but then again, it is Keene, so there's hardly any Republicans doing anything here, and so the thought was, well, we'll be able to come in there and kind of take over the party, and they were so, like, they all know who we are, you know, but yet they were welcoming and just almost like effusive with happiness that somebody under the age of 45 had shown up to their Republican meeting. And so I think that's one of the reasons why they're being infiltrated, if you will, not secretly, but openly by the Free Staters, because they know they're dying off and they need to have some new blood come into the party. And, you know, if all they can get is libertarians, then that's all they can get, and they better start being more accepting of our ideas. And, you know, whether they're going to before they die or not, I don't know, but it seems because they literally have no other path, you know, for no other path forward at this point. So, yeah, that's definitely true. And I bet you the same thing's true of the Democrats as well. I mean, I've never been to one of their meetings, but yeah. I have been. I did go to their big protest here in Keene, where in the summertime they had like 30 Democrats come out to Central Square and do an anti-Free State Project protest, and it was almost all older folks except for two, I think they had two or three maybe younger people that were, two of them were straight up communists, so, you know, obviously those are going to be like
lame.
Yeah, but they were also very elderly as well, so I think generally we're dealing with a very old population on both sides of the political coin, and the Free Staters and the Libertarians are the young blood, and we're starting to hear stories of Free Staters that are infiltrating the Democrats as well, very quietly.
Yeah.
So
let's go.
So, yeah,
we're taking over.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that sounds like spot on with what I saw too. And it's not like there's like other places, like other stuff that we've been involved with over the years, like credit union stuff. And a lot of this stuff is the same way. Like, and it doesn't matter whether we're talking about like courts or we're talking about credit unions or we're talking about like just even like what is it, the city, like city level. A lot of it's like, you know, they're pretty old, and you know, you think you'd have some you know, 40-year-olds in there, but no, they're all over 50, 60. So
I don't think we're to the point yet where we have a majority of people at any of these meetings, I don't think. Like, for instance, you were talking about not standing for the pledge. You know, we also did not stand for the pledge at the Keene meeting, and some people got some nasty looks as a result of that, but there really wasn't anything they could do about it. And we saw video footage or the screenshots of Mike Sylvia not standing for the pledge at the whatever Belknap gathering that he did that at. And of course, that stirred up a bunch of hate towards him for that. So, I mean, it's definitely not an easy road, but I look forward to the day when we have a majority of these meetings where once we cross that threshold of the majority of the audience.
That's what this meeting is. Like this is the meeting. Like, this is the meeting. These are the meetings. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You mean this meeting here that we're having right now?
Like, this is a civic meeting.
Yeah.
This is a civic meeting.
Well, I just mean when we have enough of our people in these other meetings,
right?
The majority
yeah.
of the audience doesn't stand up for the pledge. You're going to start seeing the groupthink come into play where some of the other people are going to stay seated just because they're going to want to go along with the majority. Like I said, we're not there yet, but at some point if these Free Staters were to actually show their true colors, because like some of these people are playing the game, right? Like they're going to stand up, they're going to pledge allegiance because they want to fit in with the Republicans. And I think that's a mistake, but you know, obviously they're going to play their political game how they think is best. And that's why we don't see enough Free Staters doing principled bills like, you know, abolishing the Department of Education at the state level or ending the Liquor Commission or whatever, because they're all playing politics. And that's why Matt Santanastasso and Mike Sylvia were such a breath of fresh air, because they were the first two to actually put forward a bill with some real principle behind it.
Yes, yeah, and yeah. Yeah, I can't say anything other than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think our guys are gonna do okay. We'll see what happens on Tuesday. You know, independence is on the ballot. You know, this is the year. You know, we've observed that, you know, a lot of old people go to Republican meetings. You know, this year, it's, you know, independence wins or loses, or at least, you know, this is, you know, because they already know who, you know, it's going to be very hard, Diane don't get past the general election, then any, you know, definitely not an independence caucus, because none of the people who were there for
seat would be wiped out.
Right, yeah, it would just it would be like, okay, so obviously independence, you know, it's just too soon. And it doesn't offend me when people tell me that they don't believe in independence, or they're not ready for it yet, or they support nullification, and because I understand, like, I get it, like, and one of the also things that I'm grateful for is that I also work a full-time job, so everybody on this pack works a real job, and I'm so, like, I'm so proud of that, because we work on the economy, our ideas are as good as the ideas are.
Yeah, winning doesn't even matter, from my perspective, in this particular scenario, because winning, it's one of these things that's like, okay, we're shooting for something that's almost certainly beyond what's achievable now, but that doesn't mean we can't win in another sense of making progress, you know, attracting attention for ourselves, for the cause, you know, ending up with more people in New Hampshire that believe in those same types of things. And I think Ian, weren't you saying to me the other day that somebody was telling me that they moved because of CACR 32?
Oh, yeah. Not just anybody, but Reed Coverdale, who is a libertarian podcaster with a fairly large following. He's been kicked off of Twitter, and at the time he got kicked off, he had a few tens of thousands of followers. Fairly popular, newer podcaster to the scene. He is a New Hampshire native who had left the state, as, you know, a lot of younger people do, right? Younger people tend to leave the places where they grow up because, you know, they don't know what they have. And so then he's a libertarian, or became a libertarian. He started out as a neoconservative, became a libertarian over time, is now very anti-war. Helped out with the Tulsi Gabbard campaign back in 2020, and again became a libertarian, and started to pay attention to what was happening here in New Hampshire, and was interested in the Free State Project, but didn't make the, you know, change, didn't decide to make the move back until he heard about CACR 32. So that was the kicker for him. It was the straw that the broke the camel's back, and he made the move back out here just several months ago. And he's still, you know, doing his podcast and stuff. He's now on Free Talk Live on Thursday nights, and he's just one example. I think Jeremy Kaufman said he's aware of at least like 15 people that cited the independence movement as their reason to come here.
You know, so, and it's not just one thing that we're doing. The Crypto Six stuff brought some people here. I've had some people tell me that they've moved over the Freedom to Crypto podcast I do. Certainly lots of people have moved because of Free Talk Live. So yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, keeping up and doing, you know, doing stuff that gets us attention, you know, gets the causes and shows that there's people actually doing something in New Hampshire.
Today, I had a maintenance guy come to my apartment because my shower was not draining, and I tipped him in a gold back.
Nice.
And, you know, we're out on the seacoast, and that's not common around here, and I showed it to him, I told him what it was all about. I'm like, hey, sir, it's real gold, just, you know, I don't know if he feels comfortable spending it, but he's got some gold. I'm like, and I pointed out to him, like, hey, man, like, the dollar will devalue, but that is still one thousandth of a troy ounce of gold right there.
Yes.
And then I also, so when I go to church on Sundays, I put a gold back in the coffer at church. So I've decided, because it's like, how can we introduce gold backs into the economy in a way that people feel safe doing them? Well, we had, what's his name? I've already forgot his name. Is it Jake or Jeff from Goldback?
the guy that was here at the party, you mean?
He spoke at the warehouse, right? You know,
yeah,
he told us that, like, you know,
Yeah.
It must transfer. So it's like, how can we, you know,
Benjamin.
Benjamin, that's right, Ben, yeah. Ben, so you know, you have to, so where can we complete the cycle?
Yeah.
Where's in places, right? If tip Derek Prue, our PAC treasurer, he goes to the bar on Friday nights and he tips his bartenders. And that's how he gets them doing it, because once they realize that it's real gold, it's like, okay, you know, it sells itself. It's a good idea. And so, you know, until we get, you know, cash registers that can, well, or, you know, until, that's the best way to bring it. So it's like I tip your bartenders, throw it in the coffers at church. The priests or the pastors will see it. They're, you know, perceived as authority figures, and the congregations, and then like, hey, like, this is gold. And the word will get out.
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff like that, you know, that we just got to keep making progress on. Goldbacks are a great example of that. The Crypto 6 stuff, you know, or not Crypto 6, cryptocurrency just in general. You know, there's some improvements we can definitely make there, I think, as well. Like adoption of Monero, I think, would probably be a good one. You know, just keep fixing what we've got. So there's some issues with like AnyPay that need fixed, but you know, it's all stuff that's we're making. Unfortunately, in some sense, it's in some places it's a little slow progress, but you know, we are making progress, and we just got to keep focused on that stuff and keep up with it. And hopefully, this will all in time will get even better.
Speaking of cryptocurrency, I don't know what happened, but like. Like BitPay still like didn't give us an account. Like AnyPay didn't even let us create an account with an email address, and then BitPay we're still waiting to hear back from like their legal approval. So this is something that I wanted to do for the PAC since like back in May. Like, because I know Chris is wanting to donate in crypto.
I do.
And it's like, oh my gosh. But you know, At least when the election's done, I won't have to worry about the election, you know, and then that can be a thing I can focus on with, you know, more intensity than before, trying to figure out what's taking so long. But,
yeah.
I'm curious, I know you were going to reach out to the state reps that didn't make it through the primary. Have you been able to get in touch with Mike Sylvia about the powwow that you're going to have after the election?
He's on the distro list. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Everyone's getting BCC'd on those emails. I mean, because I want to respect everybody's privacy that. So everyone's getting BCC'd. Of course, you know, Mike couldn't make it, but that doesn't mean that I don't want him there. Of course I want him there, because we need, you know, wisdom and experience on, you know, what bills to submit, how to word them. You know, there's a way for the you know, the people who didn't make it to still add value, because especially if you get
When you say he couldn't make it, do you mean he can't make the meeting, or he didn't make it through the primary?
Didn't make it through the primary.
Okay. Do you know if he's going to be at the meeting? Has he confirmed that he'll be there?
I haven't heard an RSVP from him yet, but I can I'll follow up with him.
I think it'd be great. Like, you know, he was super busy as a state rep, and now he's not going to have those responsibilities. And I understand that he's mostly retired from his previous career, so maybe we can get him to kind of step up and take the reins at some other responsibility of leadership within the independence movement. It'd be cool to see him kind of move into a different position where he can focus more on this kind of stuff. I mean, I'm just talking out loud, right? Like, I don't know what he wants to do, and obviously that's what matters most, but it would be great to include him if he's willing.
I think I said, you know, the FN, the foundation needs to bulk up following the election, because you know, the PAC is busiest during election years. Like, so the foundation is going to be, I mean, once we get the bill submitted, you know, it's just advertisements for them. That's all.
All right, cool. Sounds like things are moving up. We got the election in just a couple days, and so it should be an interesting
Yeah, no, it's I feel like it's just a matter of people actually getting stepping up to the plate and making progress on different things, right?
Yeah.
I mean, having a meeting doesn't do anything. It's actually it's people on the ground actually, you know, doing something. So. All right. See everybody.
Well, hey guys, that sounds like the start of a great afternoon.
All right, you guys have a great day out there. Enjoy the weather.
All right. See you in Sycros.
Yeah. See you. Bye. Later.